Why don't I start by asking you what a passive house is?
Okay, a passive house.
Come on up here, and we'll
let's
go somewhere. Where's this? Where's all the sunshine you're talking about?
Let's go up to the top. Third floor, I think, is a great place to start. Because really, Stu, like when we were doing the design of this building, it was pretty quickly apparent that the nicest space in the home was going to be up high, where we could take full advantage of the sun and the views towards the downtown. And so we built an upside-down house, one where the living spaces were on the top floor and the sleeping spaces were down below. So right now, you know, as you look out through that glass towards the south, over top of the Rideau River, towards the downtown, you know, you see the sun coming in the windows, which I think really makes this into a fantastic space.
Question about what's a passive house? A lot of people will automatically think passive solar. So here we are with a lot of passive solar. But really, passive house is it's much more than that. It's basically uses about 10% of the energy of a typical new home. So to do that, there's about four criteria that are mandatory. It has to be under 15 kilowatt hours per square meter per year, which, as they say, is about 10% of what a regular new house uses. The air tightness has to be 0.6 air changes at 50 pascals, which is the way we measure air tightness, which, to put that in perspective, about 6 to 8 times tighter than a brand new house. And it also can't overheat. You have all this nice passive solar gain, but you can't have too much or the house isn't comfortable. So those are the four main criteria.
How do you protect against some of the challenges of having a very airtight house?
Well, see, that's actually a bit of misinformation, because a leaky house is the house where you're going to have bad air quality, because you're breathing what's coming in through your walls, and what's going back out through your walls is depositing moisture into the walls and it's condensing, and that's where your mold is being caused. At 0.6 ACH 50, as they call it, there's very, very little chance of water condensing anywhere, the warm, moist air escaping from the house. And on top of that, this house has a heat recovery ventilator that brings fresh air in the house at all times. So it exchanges the heat from the stale outgoing air with the fresh air that comes in.
Where does the heat come from? Well, a day like this, where it's 20 below this morning.
Well, you're feeling some of the heat on our feet right now. This sunlight that's coming in through the windows is being absorbed by the floor that we're standing on. It's not carpet, it's not hardwood. It's a material called Agiliascrete A, which is has similar properties to a concrete floor. It's a dense material. So not only are we feeling heat coming in through the windows and being absorbed in the floor that we're standing on, but we also have a radiant heating system in that floor. So there's pipes full of water that go everywhere in this building. Now, the heat in those pipes is coming from a geothermal heating system that's in the mechanical room downstairs. And that heat we're taking out of the ground and turning it into heat that we can use all over our home.
How far is it possible to build a house that's passive from an existing structure to move into a place and say, okay, we're going to refit it in a way? Or do you have to start from the very beginning?
Of course, it's always easier to start with a blank canvas. It's more challenging to take a step back and then take two steps forward in order to end up ahead of where we are right now.
What are the costs of operating a house like this, of running a house, or how does it compare to an everyday house that you might see somewhere else along Crichton Street?
It can cost as much or more than a conventional home. Any additional capital costs are ones that can quite quickly be recovered once the home is operating. When we started this project, we wanted a green home. Now, green is a bit of an ambiguous word. It gets used, I think, way too often, and that's why certification programs like the LEED for Homes program that we've been working with on this building, as well as Passive House, are important in that they set targets.
If you own a passive house, do you allow yourself a 1,000-watt margarita blender and a flat-screen TV, or are all those things verboten?
Well, it really is a series of trade-offs. The design process forces a designer to go back and forth with a client and do some of those balancing acts. In the case of this project, where I was both the designer, the project manager, and now the occupant, I was only wrestling between my own ears and with my partner, Carmen. But we started off knowing that we wanted to build the best building that we possibly could. We weren't necessarily starting this design and then development process with Passive House certification in mind. It's something that, well, we did have it in mind, but it wasn't a hard and fast goal that we set for ourselves. We looked into the possibility of doing Passive House early on, and were told that it wasn't feasible in North America, or that it was, but we would have to import materials and mechanical systems from overseas in order to get the energy efficiency levels that we needed.
Is that true? Is there stuff here that's exotic or that you can't find at a local building supply store?
Absolutely none. All of the mechanical systems and the building materials that are inside of this building are ones that anyone could run out to their local building materials supplier and either find on the shelf or walk up to a counter and say, can we get our hands on this? You might have to wait a week for it to get delivered.
Can you show me what is the most exotic centerpiece of the operations part of the house? I mean, like the heat exchanger, or whether that's something in the radiant flooring?
Actually, I think the most exotic thing, the thing that makes this building most special, is where we're standing right now. Being in the living space and looking to the south over the Rideau River and seeing sunlight shining in, and looking to the north at a terrace that's over top of Crichton Street and being able to enjoy the life in New Edinburgh.
You talk about the incredulity you faced, you know, when you were told that you just wouldn't be able to make a passive home. I mean, now that one is standing in New Edinburgh and you're living in it comfortably on a minus 20 day, do you get contractors or people coming by to look at it or to ask you about how to make it work, or whether they can take, if not the whole kit and caboodle, aspects of it into a new house?
Well, both Ross from HomeSol and I are really committed to the idea of public education. You know, doing what I'm doing with you right now, frankly, helps us achieve some of those goals. And in fact, the Lead for Homes program gives you the opportunity to earn credit for doing public education. And we're more than willing and actually really happy to walk people through and whether it's this building or any of the other projects that we're involved in, and help people understand that, yeah, they can do it too. You know, this isn't a building that was put together using foreign materials. You know, this is North American, even Ottawa region materials and technology that we're employing here in this structure. And we're as good as many other buildings in the world.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for showing me around. It's quite nice.
Thank you.
Thanks.